The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the first North Sound Energy Week podcast of 2014. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week we're back after the Christmas and New Year break with a fatal accident inquiry getting underway into a Super Puma crash in 2009. A major deal is signed in the North Sea, and Shell begin public exhibitions for carbon capture proposals in Peterhead. But first, the boss of Shell is reportedly set to earn around £16 million from his last 15 months before he steps down. Peter Vosser, who is retiring at the end of March, won't receive any compensation for departing, making the decision to pursue a change in lifestyle. But existing pay deals for 2013 and the first 3 months of this year, along with deferred bonuses from previous years and schemes set to pay out after he leaves, are expected to contribute to the overall total. BP's reportedly eyeing up new investment in the Shetland area. The energy giants indicated it may proceed with a third phase of the Clare field, which would involve investment of hundreds of millions of pounds. The £4.5 billion Clare Ridge development, some 50 miles off Shetland, is one of two flagship schemes the firm's committed to, with the first oil expected in 2015. A £3 billion revamp of the Schiehallion and Loyal fields has also been sanctioned. A fatal accident inquiry this week began in Aberdeen into a helicopter crash which killed 16 men. The 14 passengers and two crew members of the Super Puma L2 aircraft all died when it came down in the North Sea off Peterhead in April 2009. Speaking ahead of the FAI starting at the townhouse, North East MSP Richard Baker says the hearing is long overdue.
It's good that we finally got to the stage of having the fatal accident inquiry into the 2009 Super Puma crash. And I know that the families who lost loved ones in that appalling accident will want to find out more about why it occurred, will be looking to have some of the questions they've got answered about why this crash took place, and also want to see coming out of this fatal accident inquiry recommendations for the future, so that we see an approach to offshore helicopter travel which is more safe, which the people who are using these helicopters to get to their work can have full confidence in, and that any recommendations which do come forward from this fatal accident inquiry are acted upon, and that the appropriate, any changes which have to be made to improve helicopter safety are actually made as a result of this investigation.
In terms of the fact that it's happening, you know, a number of years after the initial crash, how concerned are you at the delay that there's been? I mean, do you think that could affect either the quality or the breadth of evidence coming forward?
It's good that we've got to the stage today that the fatal accident inquiry is taking place finally. But it isn't acceptable that it's taken 5 years for us to get to this point. 5 years during which time the families who lost loved ones in this appalling tragedy have been waiting for answers to some of the questions they have. 5 years during which we've seen other accidents involving Super Puma helicopters and more loss of life. And we can only speculate that if we'd had the fatal accident inquiry taking place years earlier, perhaps we would have recommendations coming forward as a result of it, which could have been put in place and could have improved helicopter safety already, and maybe we'd have seen some of these accidents potentially even being avoided. So it's absolutely unacceptable that it's taken 5 years to get to this stage. And what I want to see happen in future is for ministers to support legislation in the Scottish Parliament to ensure that we don't have these years of delays to these important hearings to find out answers to some of the questions we have about why this accident happened. But also so that we ensure that the families who lost loved ones in the Super Puma crash just last year do not have themselves a wait of 5 years until the fatal accident inquiry takes place. That can happen again. And what we have to see in future is this process being far more speedy to ensure that the families have answers and to ensure also that we learn lessons for the future of helicopter safety and that the offshore workers using helicopters can have confidence that their transport to their place of work is as safe as it can be.
In the first week of the inquiry on Monday, an eyewitness described the moment the aircraft fell like a torpedo into the North Sea. In a statement read out in Aberdeen, mechanic Lidvar Olav Hildre told how he saw a flame from the Super Puma just before it hit the water. On Tuesday, a pilot who flew the helicopter before it crashed says there was nothing to explain the malfunction. Two former senior figures who worked for Operator Bond at the time also gave evidence, responding to questions from a lawyer representing some of the families of the 16 men who died. The firm's former MD said they wouldn't put the aircraft in the sky if routine maintenance was required first. On Wednesday, the inquiry heard how the aircraft was deemed fit for service the previous day. Former Bond Engineering Director James Gilmore said no defects were found during flight tests. And on Thursday, the FAI heard how there was an anomaly in technical logs relating to the chopper. Paperwork showed the Super Puma was inspected for 10 minutes the day before it came down off the Aberdeenshire coast. Solicitor advocate Tom Marshall, representing some of the victims' families, said this did not seem feasible. Former Engineering Director Operator Bond, James Gilmore, said it would take at least 15 minutes to check and refuel the aircraft. The inquiry continues later next week.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Elsewhere this week, ongoing technical problems could delay the restart of the Enoch field until the middle of the year. The field, 160 miles off Aberdeen, has already been closed for 2 years due to mechanical issues with subsea equipment. Norco, partner with operator Talisman, is warning it may be midsummer before finally it resumes production. The welfare of energy workers is the concern of a new category added to the UK Offshore Oil and Gas Safety Awards. A health prize will now feature at this year's ceremony in Aberdeen later in the year. The keynote address will be given by Sir Charles Haddon Cave, leader of the Nimrod Inquiry. On Wednesday, Aberdeen-based Dolphin Drilling announced it had won a multi-million pound contract with Chevron North Sea Limited. The work, valued at £155 million, will see the semi-submersible Blackford Dolphin in service for the US firm. It'll stay in the UK sector of the North Sea for a minimum of 18 months. Work will begin in the second quarter of 2015. Ian Mitchell is Dolphin's Senior Marketing Vice President.
It's a very positive move for us because it means a longer-term contract, stability within the company, and it's giving us a look ahead in combination with previous contracts that goes out, you know, nearly 3 years from where we are right now in our business. That's quite long-term.
And what potential does this have for perhaps job creation?
The rig will obviously require crewing, and we're well on the way for doing that. So that's offshore crew on board the rig. And in addition to that, we're also strengthening our onshore positions. So there's a recruitment campaign for a number of positions onshore here. So all in all, it's quite positive for recruitment.
What does this say about Dolphin then? I mean, are there other projects such as this in the pipeline, other deals that we could see in the offing, or are you taking it project by project?
We always take it project by project, but what we saw in the UK in the spring here was an opportunity for market growth. And on that assessment, we took the decision to take the rig back here in preference to other areas in the world. And we're very pleased that that worked out. So as long as the UK can continue to provide that stable growth environment, then I think there are other opportunities here that can be capitalized on. We're pretty happy with where we are in the North Sea right now, and that's because we've got longer term contracts than we had before, and that's all about stability, as I mentioned earlier, and that's what gives us the basis to build a company going forward. So all in all, we're quite positive about our position at present.
Dana Petroleum is moving into North Africa after securing new exploration sites in the Egyptian desert. The Aberdeen-based firm has picked up two new concessions at West Dakhla in the country's western desert. The sites will be surveyed over the next 3 years to establish their commercial viability. Shell were this week urging us to have our say on proposals for a carbon capture and storage project in Peterhead. A series of public exhibitions began in Bodham on Wednesday afternoon and will be in Peterhead itself, Fraserburgh, Cruden Bay and Aberdeen next week. The proposals for a CCS plan are still subject to approval. Paul Garnham from Shell tells us what we can expect at the consultations.
The first chance that the public and the local community will have to come in and hear about our plans for the Peterhead project. So the public will have the chance to comment, to critique, and maybe to influence. It will not be the first, it will not be the only chance they get. There'll be other chances later in the timeline, but if they want to influence, it's better done sooner rather than later.
And what sort of things will be on show then? I mean, are we talking about the designs of the site or how it'll operate?
So just to stress, we're at still quite a preliminary stage with the project. I mean, the project, if it goes ahead, would not start operating until 2018, 2019. So we're still at a fairly early stage. So the exhibition will have some display panels, and there'll be quite a few members of the project team there to chat to. So we're really just trying to get a feel from the public as to how they how they feel about the plans, the proposals, and any comments, any concerns that they might have.
What sense have Shell got so far from the communities? I mean, the feeling we've had is actually quite a positive one.
Yeah, I'd hate to be presumptuous or arrogant about this, but I must say it's great to work on a project where everyone appears to be very, very supportive. We've talked to a few local stakeholders, and obviously we've met with the public informally, and so far everyone indeed seems to be very supportive. It is potentially a win-win project. It's a win for the UK, it's a win for the planet, it's a win for the local community, it's a win for the offshore oil and gas industry, because it offers the prospect of sustaining the life of the offshore industry, and it's a win for the companies involved, Shell and SSE.
What sort of hurdles then still do you have to be overcome, both for yourselves and SSE, in making this a reality?
So quite a few hurdles. I have to stress it's not a slam dunk. It's quite a lot of work to be done. Technically, we think the project is viable. The different elements of the project have been done elsewhere by other companies. What we're planning to do for the first time is join it together in a full end-to-end chain, if you like. So technically, I think it's viable. So a lot of the obstacles tend to be sort of commercial or regulatory. It's not a foregone conclusion that the government will fund this. To their credit, they have offered £1 billion prize money for the competition that they've been running for a number of years now. And the Peterhead project is one of two projects shortlisted to go forward, but it's certainly not taken for granted that the government would select us and continue to fund us.
And rounding the week off, Aberdeen-based Arcadian has appointed three new business directors. Ian McFarlane's been with the offshore accommodation firm since its first year in 2002 and becomes Director of Technical Services. He's joined by Claire Taylor, who becomes Director of Projects, and Keith Adams, appointed Director of Design. Don't forget, for all the latest news in the energy sector, tune into our special Energy Zone bulletins each weekday morning on North Sound during breakfast. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.